Hello, welcome to Game Shows, I suppose. Sort of. This is kind of just a special episode. Welcome, Patreon people. This is usually when we talk about game shows. We usually do one of these a month, typically. This week, or I guess month, or whenever, I don't know when the next one is Krypton Factor episode. This is a Krypton Factor. This is a British game show that is kind of interesting. Never really gets the time of day, I feel. Felt like I should do it for the Patreons, because it's a quick-witted game show. Basically, it's four contestants going through five trials or games, and whoever has the most points at the end wins the show. But the points are based on a Krypton factor, and the Krypton factor is based on certain things. And essentially, they kind of go by it's kind of complicated, but not really as well, because I kind of just explained it. It's four people, 1v1v1v1, and they go through different games, testing various parts of human conditioning, from physical endurance to mental agility to observation. So I wanted to make a quick episode about this. I don't know if it's going to last that long, but I just wanted to do it. And then ramble a bit for the sake of game shows. This is kind of what the podcast has become, is the rambly show. The game show started out in, I believe, the 70s. I'm led to believe, I have to double check, 1977. 78, 77. And essentially, Krypton, like an all-around person. There are different games. The first one in the very first season was, I'm just going to say this right now, the first and the last series of Krypton Factor suck. I hated watching the earliest ones and the latest ones. The earliest one, because it's very dull, very boring. I did not get any enjoyment out of it, to the point of I kind of did not like Krypton Factor. And then the last series was so 90s, to the point of it felt nothing like the other series and their formats, because it's a yearly series, kind of like Mastermind. And it's the best way to describe it is a puzzle, a pay attention game, a physical challenge obstacle course, a memory game, and a trivia show, all in one. I will load up quickly this wiki page. All right. So everyone wears a tracksuit. Yeah, figured that out. 77, I was right. Okay. Hosted by Gordon Burns from 1977 to 1995. Penny Smith in 95. Russ King with the kids version, Young Krypton. let's see here. It was shown on Wednesday, so land for 11 weeks, consisting of 8 heats, 2 semifinals, and the final. When it was on Fridays, there were 2 years before arriving on Mondays in 1980, up to and including the 79 series. Don't care about the different things. All you need to know is there's different trials. Whoever does best gets 10 points, then 8. First is 10, then 6, then 4, then 2. That's the scoring mechanic on the show. This is kind of an interesting kind of show. So let's go through all of the different games. So the first one was from the first series, and it was called the Personality Round. Basically, they had to do a poem or an essay or do a focus group, and they would try to figure out who did the best. Basically, it was like a mini talent show, and it was horrendous. Oh, God. The fact that this is what was the startup, I imagine Taskmaster, but not funny. it was really just, here's a guy who reading his own essay. And that's the show. Best essay gets 10 points. They tossed it. Then it got to the much better one, which was mental agility, which was a more of a memory test. So it was kind of like, hey, we're going to show you a grid of 9 numbers. And I'm basically going to say, what's in the second column, third row? And what's in the second column, left to the third row? And what's in the third core opposite the two? It basically is kind of like a quick draw quiz. It was really, really fun. Then they would be on the buzzer, and basically whoever had the most points would win the round. Originally, they all had headphones, so they could not hear over each other, so they can repeat the questions, I believe. But now it's just kind of like, now there's like an isolation booth, because I was in the reboot. It was all just like memory games. It was all brain teasers, which I kind of really enjoyed for that, because it was all observational. Second was a response round. In the response round, it was a race, and basically you had to do both. It was like you had to do math questions while on a bike. Later on, which is the only part I kind of remember the most of, was mostly flight simulators. They would basically do a flight simulator, and whoever did the best wins. And it was different kind of planes. That's all I remember from the response round was, this is the who can do the good in the video game round, and the video game is a flight simulator. I thought it was really cool. Whenever I watch this version of Krypton Factor, I kind of get drawn in slightly because I always think this was the 80s, and this was the technology at the time that was futuristic. So for me, it was kind of like a real throw into technology and what was considered a game show at the time, which I thought was really one of the major reasons I wanted to do this episode, was the fact that there was like a little video gamey kind of thing going on. Of course, there was like a video game in the Krypton Factor America with Dick Clark that was basically them playing Atari games, and it was horseshit. I do not like the Krypton Factor in America. Both the teen version and Dick Clark's version could have gotten a lot better, but no, they went by game show mechanics of multiply everything by 5 and make it so it's all perfect for game show audiences in America to understand. Because we don't understand sports numbers. It was such a tough game. It's very fun because one is like because it's mental, it's physical, and it's just kind of mix of both. So the response round was flight simulator. Other times it was basically balance beam trivia. Then we go into the observation round. Observation round is, I would say, the cheapest round, even though it probably had the most money. So what happened in the observation round? Depending on which version, there was a clip, sometimes from a show that aired on TV. Other times it was its own unique in-universe show, which I really love when they made an in-universe story arc. So it almost felt like you were watching a mini drama unfold as you continue watching the show. And the idea was that as you watch this like 4-minute clip, then there's going to be questions about, like, what color is the shirt? And what was in the photo? And what was the 5 o'clock? What was the time on the clock? All about powers of observation, which I really, really love. The observation round has sometimes really boring clips, I'll be honest. However, what I love about the observation round is it's like a precursor to... It's a precursor to I literally just told you, because all the answers are in front of you. They've said everything. It's just the power of memory and observation, which is kind of part of the game. So then once the clip finishes, hey, let's all answer the same questions, and whoever answers the most wins the 10 points. Then second place gets 6, then 4, then 2. That's basically it for the first 4 rounds. It's 10, 6, 4, 2. That's the scoring mechanic for these games. Then we go to the physical ability round. The physical ability round is really dangerous. I've seen people get hurt and apparently end up like forfeiting the show because they get hurt. Because they don't do a lot of safety precautions, it turns out. So they basically go to like a military assault course. And it's all four people at the same time doing like a race. And it's going through like 20 obstacles or 12 obstacles. And it's like going up a cargo net, going down the balance beam, going up this, going on the wall, going under the net, going over this thing. Women get a head start. And then if it's age, older people get another advantage. And then it's like a different formula based on who gets to go first when. So almost like American Gladiators, they go through it. I think this is like the part that people say is the most iconic part of Krypton Factor, is the fact that for the majority of the show, they go through like an in-studio game, such as the observation round, where they're bringing an actor from the scene and go, which one of these is the actor you just saw? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. And it would all lock in, and that's the points. Here, they're out of studio, and this was filmed in advance as they go through an obstacle course. And there's like all sorts of like military personnel and real cool decorum. I thought it was the physical like obstacle course. It's not the best, I would say. I would probably gas out after like four obstacles, but there's something about it that when I rewatched it, I go, this is why people love Krypton Factor. But also, I watched it going, if there was ever a reboot, this is the kind of game that is perfect for the team behind Ninja Warrior. Because this is the kind of obstacle course thing that they could try and replicate and try to recreate. Because I think the Ninja Warrior obstacles in the modern day obstacle course are a bit more upper body, but also a bit more balancey beam and all sorts of stuff that fits with Krypton Factor in the past. So when I rewatch Krypton Factor, I kind of went, this is kind of interesting because this is during the day, and this is the thing that could easily be modernized with like all of those cool T-bars and all the awnings that you can see from a modern game show with an obstacle course. So I really enjoyed it. It is kind of like Guts in a way, because this is the big race for points, and it's already done in advance. But it's also very interesting, the obstacles and how they go through them. Because a lot of times, it's really just like a physical fitness test, which I guess is part of the Krypton Factor, because it's supposed to be physical and body. So this is the physical challenge. You already did the hopefully the dexterity challenge with the flight simulator. So this is the other part of the body that is trained, which is, I guess, physical ability, which is very interesting. Then we go to my favorite round, which is intelligence. Intelligence is essentially a puzzle round. They give each of the players like a little puzzle and have to assemble it. But there's only one clear way to work it out, and they don't see what the puzzle is or how to solve it. So it's basically like a big mental endurance test. But there was used to be a time limit of like 2 minutes, and then they pulled the plug. In the early versions, they played till completion. So sometimes it took 15 to 20 minutes. And other times, competitors actually picked up pieces from each other's table or cheated in that round. So they got rid of it in the 1995, which is also kind of when they got rid of the original version. Then they did a time limit. If they couldn't complete it, it's whoever got closest within the 2 minutes. They scrapped it again in 2010 because audiences thought it was too boring. Because you're not playing along, you're just watching people complete a jigsaw puzzle, essentially. I thought it's the best puzzle because it's really cool graphics and really cool designs, and some people can't figure out how to do an escape room. Hey, maybe if we're doing modern day, hey, you know how we did the obstacle course? Okay, so here it is, Jordan already, just helping you out here. Mental agility, you just do the similar games that you saw on Mental Samurai. In the response game, a video game challenge, too. Number three, observation, you just do another clip, but it's an in-universe clip, a little sketch show going on. Four, we do the obstacle course, but like Ninja Warrior. Five, the intelligence puzzle, you just make it a escape room. A single player escape room. You have four pods and try to get them to escape an escape room. Simple as that. It's not that difficult to make that the round. It's like a race, but it's also involving a puzzle, and it's all about logic. So it's perfect for anybody to look at home and scream at the TV to look at the envelope, or it's 444, open the code. Which leads to the final round, which was general knowledge. General knowledge is really fun. Because they had an interesting scoring mechanic in the beginning. So after first four games, you know, the 10, 6, 4, 2, the scores could be anywhere from 40 to 6, or 40 to 8. So there's usually about a 2-point difference or a 6-point difference or an 8-point difference. And then we go to a general knowledge round, which is the best apart. Now, there's a time limit. Sometimes it was 3 minutes, sometimes it was 2 minutes, sometimes it was 90 seconds. And the idea is the host asks a question, like on the buzzer's question. You buzz in with the correct answer, you get 2 points. You buzz it incorrectly, you lose 1 point. So you gain two or you lose one. And then later on, they did plus 2 points or lose 2 points when I think it was the finals. Or they just made it 2 points because it was quicker. Because, hey, you can cheat and just keep buzzing in. There's a whole lot of discussion about the game mechanics of the plus two, minus one philosophy of gameplay. I personally think they should reverse it at 1 point, but you lose two if you're wrong. Just as an even scorier penalty. But what I love about this version of the quickfire round of, like, what is the capital of blah? It follows a really cool writing scheme where the answer to the last question is basically the category or phrasing of the next one. So it'll be like, Jeff Bezos is the CEO of what e-commerce website? Amazon. The Amazon rainforest is located on what continent? Africa. Africa is a number one single by what 80s rock band? Toto. Toto is a dog from what legendary film franchise starring Judy Garland? The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is written by L. Frank Who. Bomb. Bomb. And it just keeps going from there. It that's what I love, is that little chain of command in the general knowledge round, which honestly looked really cool. Early seasons looked terrible. Because they looked like they were inside like a Circuit City or one of those TV show stores where they're just standing there with a buzzer and lights kind of flicker on and off. But in like the late 80s, they had this really cool graphic package where it's just like, it's dark. There's a shining light on people's faces, almost like Mastermind. And when they lock in, the other three contestants are in the dark and only their face is shown as they give an answer. I thought that's like the coolest, one of the coolest graphics things I've ever seen in a game show. And yet it really goes underappreciated in modern times. And yet this is like the winner take all round, is this quiz game. And I think that's what's kind of fun about it, is you could kind of be down. And if you have a good chain of correct answers, because you're on the buzzer with dexterity and you know, it actually could get you to win. Now, whoever has the most points wins. Or, I'm sorry, whoever has the highest Krypton score wins. The Krypton Factor score wins. The Krypton Factor wins the show. And at the end of the... And they advance in the tournament. And whoever After the semifinals and then the finals, whoever wins the finals wins the show and they win a lovely trophy. If this was America, they win a cash prize. That's it. In 1995, they fucked it up by deciding we should not make a general knowledge round, but instead try and make it so you spend your points to buy helpful lifelines to build a ladder or get clues to the code as you maneuver through a maze. It was really boring to watch. There were a lot of disqualifications because, like an aggro crag, they went through another player's path. Or they advance without actually completing the challenge. It sucks. It's really bad. But I will say, though, what I loved about Krypton Factor was when it was just, like, those key games. So when I rewatched Krypton Factor, watching the late 90s, like, the last season, brought really bad taste to my mouth because no more puzzle. And then early on was like the essay round. It's just not good. But when it really hit its mark, when it was, here is like a memory game to start off. Then here is the flight simulator footage. Then here is the observation clue game. And then here is the physical challenge game. And now let's do the on the buzzers quiz at the end. Those five games in one made for a really fascinating, because this is a half an hour show, so it went really quick. So when I say I like Krypton Factor, I love it because it was, usually when it comes to a game show, we kind of only focus on one of those attributes. We do an obstacle course show, or we do a quiz game. And this tried to do everything. So there was a little bit of something for everybody. And I think that that's kind of the game that we should kind of celebrate more of. I don't know if you want to do it more skill-based or more physical-based, but in the past pandemic, when I was watching Ninja Warrior, Mental Samurai, and like seeing escape room puzzles and people on YouTube doing puzzle boxes, it really got me thinking, what you could really redo Krypton Factor if you know what you're doing. And I don't know if people know what to do, because 2009-2010's version, while it was okay because it had a really cool set, didn't really have the same je ne sais quoi as the original. It was kind of annoying, to say the least. That's the thing with Krypton Factor. If it was me, I already said what I would do. You would make a Mental Samurai game at the start, a video game in round two, an escape room in level three, in four, a Ninja Warrior course, and then five, the quiz. That's really all you need to do. And I think you would have at least a bit of people wanting to watch it over and over again, even if the obstacle course doesn't change every episode. But it changes every season, because you're only going to show that course off maybe once every 12 episodes, so you're good. That's all. And watching American versions, I like American game shows a lot. And I understand that even back then, people see a hit and they want to bring it over internationally. Dick Clark was not the best fit for that show. And in the 90s, oh, jeez, it was like, it was a teen game show for teens, dog. Yo, 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 let's go through the obstacle course at this lovely beach in California. As they go on a jet ski and go on a zip liner and they go on a balance beam. I mean, it's no military thing, so it didn't feel brutal. But it didn't feel like, it felt like I was watching people attempt to reenact California games in a really unappealing kind of way. And the scoring mechanic was wrong. It was just, it's a rough sit through.
I think the scoring was like 25, 15, 10, and 5. It just wasn't good. So, basically, I say give Krypton Factor a try. Find some of the 80s episodes. You'll be glad you did. Especially ones that had the a challenge involving a flight simulator, because you got to see some technology well into advancedhood in the 80s, which is always hard to imagine. So it's a real recommendation. People watch it. I enjoyed it. And yes, I think it could be rebooted. I think it could end up on Fox. It seems like a very Fox kind of game show. If not, definitely something that you would see on like Peacock or like a streaming service that's network, like Paramount Plus, Peacock, Hulu, not Disney Plus, but I mean, like, it could be Disney Plus. Because it does work. I think it has potential. It was on for over 20 years in the UK. So they did something right. I just think they just tried to mess with the format, and that's what did them in. So that's it for the Krypton Factor review. Now it's time for me to do some game show updating. So RuPaul is doing Lingo. Are we dead of Wordle yet? Because I'm kind of worried people be dead of Wordle. Because I think so. Netflix has a game show with an interactive element called Trivia Quest. It could be fun. It's coming soon. It's its first original daily game show. Each episode featured 24 questions, 12 standard, 12 hard, across categories including science, history, entertainment, sports, art, and geography. Players can replay quizzes to get the right answers and accumulate points with some of the released characters inspired by favorite Netflix characters. Also, coming soon, there is also a Are You the One rebooted. So they're trying to reboot Are You the One for Paramount Plus. And, I mean, it's an interesting game show. It's a dating experiment where you're trying to figure out based on tests and best friends who's the right fit. And they don't know. I always thought that was always a fun little detective kind of game. Because is the $1 million important, or is finding love important? Another thing I saw was they are at CB... I think NBC is picking up $1 Million Island. I'm just going to remind people of the name of it. $1 Million Island. At one point, $1 Million Island sounds enticing because $1 million. But when you consider Survivor already gives away $1 million, what's the catch? Well, it's a battle royale game set on an island. So where are we bouncing, boys? Let's go on the bang bus or whatever the fuck the Fortnite people call it. So you drop on the island and then you kill people for money. No, it's 100 people on an island. They each have an armband. That armband's worth $10,000. When they're eliminated from a contest or a challenge or a game, they sacrifice their bracelet by giving it to somebody else. Someone that they care about, somebody that they trust, someone they believe in to go all the way. They keep that bracelet, and therefore they get their $10,000, and now they're playing for $20,000, or $30,000, or $40,000, with the idea being that as the time and time progresses, people have more and more bracelets, and now I'm not giving away my $10,000, I'm giving away $100,000, or $130,000, and that brings for very important crying moments, and at the end of the show, someone wins money. I don't know how the end of that game works. It should be interesting. Challenges, I don't know. Survivor mechanics, I don't know. They're trying to make a battle royale game. Let's just be serious. They're trying to make a battle royale game because that's the hits. Battle royales are popular. Have you seen the Squid Games? They're probably looking at Mr. Beast videos right now on YouTube. Like, did you see that Squid Game video? That got 20 million views. We can do that. We can do that here at NBC. This is going to be great. They'll probably get Mr. Beast to host it because that's the kind of bullshit I could expect. It's gonna be horseshit. Make both shows. Anyway, another thing, American Song Contest, the Eurovision of modern day, hosted by Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg. It's going to make its debut real soon. It has a very weird scoring mechanic that's not like Eurovision. It's going to be head-to-head rounds until one's left standing. Yeah, that's it. Head-to-head rounds until one's left standing. It's not going to be 50 plus the colonies voting and then someone getting eliminated. I'm still deeply confused by that. Because in one aspect, it's an interesting game show in theory, because it's Eurovision, that's a big global thing. But at the same time, to Americanize it, it doesn't really stand for anything. It's not standing for world peace. It's not standing for unity as a country. It's just American Idol with songs. They're original. And that's my big fear. Also, there's a new game show in the works, The Traitors, coming soon, where people are going to go into a castle, and three of them are saboteurs, like the mole. And every episode, the team gets to vote off somebody. And if it's a traitor, a new one enters the game. The traitors are meant to keep their identity secret till the very end, while the rest are trying to keep the pot to themselves. At the end of the game, when there's three left, they get to vote off their own, which then leaves the two to do a final prisoner's dilemma, where they could split it evenly, one steal, one keep, or if they both decide to steal instead of both leaving empty-handed, all of it goes to that person they just voted off. So no matter what, somebody wins. And that what makes for a very interesting end to a prisoner's dilemma-based game show. So, it's got picked up. I heard it's coming to the UK. It's coming to America. It's coming to Australia. It's coming to Spain. It's going to be this big hit. So once again, be on the lookout to The Traitors coming soon. It could be the next big hit. Just like Limitless Win, which is now being trying to be shopped over to America. I'm guessing a Fox or CBS would pick this up because it's a big money game show. And I don't think Fox would want to throw that because they already have a lot of game shows in their hand that are classics. And NBC would probably make an offer for it, but then cheapen the show in some capacity. So it's either going to be CBS because of their love of Power of 10, or it's going to be Fox because of its really cheap-looking set, which is a notorious thing on most modern Fox game shows, including Name That Tune. So, one over, game over. One over, game over. That's a lifeline. We'll get back to that. And then blow up a balloon design competition coming soon from the people buying Domino Masters and Lego Masters. Balloons. Balloons. Yep. Anyway. So, finally, the final thing I want to talk about here is was another game which I wanted to quickly talk about, which was Ruckus. Ruckus was a game show hosted by the amazing Jonathan in the 90s, one of Mark Griffin's quirky projects, and it's so cheap. I don't think I ever did a Game Shows I Suppose episode on this, because there's not a lot you could talk about other than the Reach for the Stars game. But it's such a... it's one of those weird game shows. It's a stunt show, kind of like a lot of the Saturday night shows in the UK. But it was at Merv Griffin's casino that later became the Trump casino. And essentially, it was a bunch of old people playing game shows. But that's beside the point. It was basically, let's make a deal mixed with, like, beat the clock, you know, like pop the balloons. There's a lot of pop the balloon games, or it's fill the water kind of games, the balloon pop shaving cream thing game, like those, like really harmless, silly games hosted by the amazing Jonathan. Sometimes he does his own magic, you know, like the drink the blue Windex. And it was basically the important part of the show was the Reach for the Stars game. And I thought that was because it was very chaotic. It was one of the most chaotic game shows, that final round, and was like the 90s. If I could describe the 90s, it was the Reach for the Stars game. It's my favorite part of Ruckus because it's just insane. There is three contestants and I think like a 4 minute clock or 5 minutes. And basically one contestant gets a toss up question. They buzz in with the correct answer. Then they have to run over to the board, grab one of these random stars on a board. They grab it. They hand it to Jonathan. And if it's a question, they get first dibs at it. And if it's a stunt, they get more money, but it's like a very quick, like, hey, for $100, I want you to throw this rubber duck into this bucket, go, kind of game. Like, that's it. And it's like, if they fail, it goes back to a toss-up question, and it's just, as this is going, like, chaotic music starts playing, like, all sorts of, like, really frantic music starts playing. It's just been a lot of fun. So when the news passed of Amazing Jonathan's passing, yeah, that documentary was really messed up. But I remember Ruckus, and that's where I was going to remind myself of Amazing Jonathan, was just that game show Ruckus. Because to me, that was just so much fun. That's kind of where I think that's kind of why I love a lot of game shows. It's when you pick and pull different game shows and what could and can't be. Sometimes the craziest ideas just work for you, even if they're not the best ideas. And other game shows, you know, just don't work here, but they could work somewhere else. So as I'm about to close up this episode, it's just one of my biggest things I've been doing is still watching streaming shows. I've been watching Paramount Plus, and I've been watching Peacock. Paramount Plus has, like, Canadian Big Brother now. They're trying their best to get old Double Dare. They got Liza Koshy Double Dare. They're getting all sorts of game shows back on there, so keep giving those a watch if you could. Survivor is there, so if you're a big Survivor nerd, watch Paramount Plus. It's worth the money. Amazing Race just came to an end. Also a really good show. And then finally, Peacock. People are making fun of Peacock because WWE or just its lack of stuff. But I think that's the secret, is you need to keep an eye on Peacock, because things like Frogger show up and I enjoy it a lot, but no one really talks about them. And things like the Capital One College Bowl show up and it's a sleeper hit. And my concern is just Disney Plus and Hulu, because a lot of shows are pulling from Hulu to go on their streaming services. That Hulu needs to be like the Fox ABC channel, and they're not really putting any shows on there. Name That Tune it's kind of rough to watch. Hell's Kitchen, also the same. I think it's a case of I want those two to succeed. But I think as a TV service, it needs work, because Hulu, even though I'm paying for it because I got that Disney Plus bundle, because you know me, I love myself the Mr. Mickey Mouse. I really want this to succeed, and Hulu's not offering anything for me currently, other than a few movies and only Murders in the Building. That's just a fun show. But I mean, like, on a game show standpoint, nothing for me. That makes sense. If you're a game show fan, Hulu kind of doesn't have much for you. You could watch the College Championship with Maya Bialik. That's the last thing I watched on Hulu, was the Jeopardy College Championship. Yeah. So it's one of those cases of where are things going to go in a few years. You got to keep an eye out for this. HBO Max has About Last Night, which I have loved. It has episodes of The Cube now. HBO Max has The Cube with Dwayne Wade. Really good series. Give it a watch. I talked about that in my birthday top five list. There's been a lot of fun. Give them a go. Streaming services are going to have game shows. It's really just a matter of how much are they going to keep these game shows afloat versus what's going to happen on Pluto television. I watch a lot of Pluto because of Buzzer, the Barker years, and coming soon, G4 Select. I'm shilling for a company I don't even work for. But yes, Buzzer and Game Show Central, which is Game Show Network shows. Pluto TV is on a roll here. Folks, go to Pluto TV. You'll be glad you did. There's lots of content over there. You know how if sometimes you're on YouTube and you get overwhelmed? Just go to Pluto. That's my suggestion. Just go to Pluto. You'll find something. There's always something to watch on Pluto TV. Streaming services-wise, also a good thing to check out Paramount Plus or check out Peacock. I think some shows are on Pluto TV that are on Paramount Plus. I think there's like a reality show channel, and I think they put on The Amazing Race, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, game shows, they're back. They're better than ever. Summer is approaching. Get the word out. We're about to see Summer Fun and Games get announced. Celebrity Family Feud got peaked. I'm guessing Hustler, maybe a season 3 might be in the works. Without a doubt, they're probably workshopping. I literally just told you as we speak. We'll see what goes. That's going to do it here for Game Shows, I suppose, is Game Show Update. Until next time, big smooch! Mwah!